Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Genesis 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 4, 1 through 5. Hallelujah. Ooh, I like these monitors. Praise Jesus. How many of you guys ever got a prophetic word in your life? You know, we serve a speaking God. We serve a God that is not far away, but rather he is near to you. Hallelujah. And he is a speaking God. You know, and since I married my beautiful, amazing wife, Pastor Rosie, hallelujah, my girlfriend's a pastor, praise Jesus. And, you know, ever since we got married, we've been seeking the word of the Lord, and the Lord has never failed us through the scriptures and through prophetic words. Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk tonight, the title of my message is Godspeed. Hallelujah. Genesis 12, verse 1, New Living Translation. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Hallelujah. Come on, Father, thank you for your word that is a light unto our path, our lamp unto our feet. I pray, God, you speak to us tonight. Lord, that those words that have been spoken into our hearts, Lord, that are going to be accomplished by you, by your spirit. You sent them. You stand over them to see them fulfilled. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. So God is a speaking God. You know, through the scriptures, God interacts with those who will hear his voice. Or rather, you will be able to interact with God when you hear his voice. Hallelujah. In 2014, you know, we had the hardest year that we've had as a family. And as a matter of fact, when I came up, as I was coming up to the platform, I was reminded that God gave us this exact word in Genesis that we just read, that when we were deciding whether to stay in Alaska or not. This very word, I didn't even think about it all day, but as I open the Bible and the Lord's like, remember, this is how I called you to Alaska. Because we came here for a temporary, work thing, and we were going to leave after 6 months. But as we were praying and seeking the Lord, believing God to give us a word, to speak to us, to help us, because how many of you know, you can make all kinds of decisions about all kinds of things. There's one right decision. Hallelujah. And so we desired to be led by the Lord to stay in the will of God. And as we sought the Lord, Father, do we stay here in Alaska or do we go? Should I stay or should I go? If you stay in the Lord's presence, you have blessing. Anyway, let's not try to pull that off. But we were praying and Pastor Rosie calls her sister, and she's talking to her sister in Brazil. And she's like, oh, there's this lady here in my house, and she's got this prophetic gift, and she wants to talk to you. And it's like, we don't know you, right? And she was a pastor, a minister there in a church. And so she grabs the phone, and she, if you're Brazilian and you're Pentecostal Brazilian, you speak in tongues a lot before you say anything. You know, and then she speaks in tongues for 3 minutes, and then she delivers the word. Hallelujah. It doesn't always have to be that way. Amen. And so, she gives us this word that God's called us, like he called Abraham, to a distant land, away from his family. And my wife said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And my mother-in-law is coming home or coming back tomorrow. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She's coming back Friday. Amen. But anyway, and this is, the Lord called us here this way. And, you know, and we stayed in Alaska, and it was, you know, it was an amazing time. But in 2014, when, you know, it was one of the hardest years of our family, you know, we had three kids, you know, and went through so many hardships. How many of you guys go through hardships? You get hurt at church, you get, you know, betrayed, all kinds of stuff, wah, wah, wah. You know what this is? It's the world's smallest violin playing you a song. But anyway, it didn't feel that way in 2014. Right? And then we came, you know, and I was done with church. I was done with everything else. And then, you know, we had friends that had just moved from Emonic. They were living in Palmer, the Joneses. How many know the Joneses? How many of you keeping up with the Joneses? They're doing great things for God in Nome, Alaska now. But at the time, they were living here, and Jen invited, you know, Pastor Rose, say, hey, come, we got prayer meeting, you know, and she came to the church. And I remember the first time she came, she's like, oh, like the pastor was wearing like a Captain America t-shirt. I was like, whatever. Anyway, but then she came home the next time after she went to service, and she's like, the pastor gave me a prophetic word. I'm like, a what? A prophetic word, you know, and so, and it was a really good word. And it was, a, you know, and I'll, you guys want to hear it? Yeah, this is 10 years ago. I'm just going to play you the first one. But this is the very first prophetic word that we ever received in this house. Oh, not that one. You know, when I was driving here, I'm like, I got to make sure I got the right one when I started. That's why.
The Lord is going to do some marvelous things for you. There's a wind that's shifting for you. I'm just going to keep prophesying so I don't upset your baby. The wind is shifting, and the Lord says that there's an east wind that's blowing, an east wind of provision. And I'm going to cause it to blow upon your life, and it's going to come in, even as he brought quail in a day's journey, a knee-high, a day's journey. Suddenly of God. There are suddenlies throughout scripture, and the Lord says, even over you, I am doing a suddenly for you. I'm going to do it suddenly, and you'll just be like, whoa, thank you, Jesus. He's going to bless you. He's going to help you. He's heard your cry. Amen. Lord, touch. Touch. Lord, touch. There's a new dimension of ministry that's coming to you.
That was the second word we ever got at Kings. You guys want to hear it? And it's amazing. It's the same pianist. I think it's Minister Micah. I've had some of the greatest breakthrough in my life with Minister Micah playing the piano, and this is one of those nights.
Some frustration at times. I've called you for certain. I've anointed you for sure. The Lord is going to come upon you even in the next 30 days. I'm going to open up some things in the spirit to you. Dreams, visions, they're going to flow like a river. I see you like the river.
It impacted our lives. You know, when no, he doesn't know anything about us, nobody knows you, and then to hear the word of the Lord, I mean, you know God, right? And then to hear the word of the Lord so powerfully, and it's like the river of God is going to be running through your living room. Who would have thunk it that back in 2014, you know, when I had just, that's the night that I rededicated my life to the Lord. Who would have known then that one day we would be pastoring a church in Eagle River? That hundreds and hundreds of people would be impacted in Eagle River. Hallelujah. And that's what the word of God will do in our lives. When the word of God comes to you, hallelujah, it brings life. It brings peace. It brings the power of God. Hallelujah. And it impacted our lives. I rededicated my life to the Lord that Sunday. It was soon, you know, soon before that. And it was like a chiropractic adjustment that set the course of our life to fulfill the calling of God that he had for us. Hallelujah. And God created us to continually move forward. Did you know that? That you're not created to be looking at the past. That's why your feet face forward. If your feet face backwards, that's something's wrong. Because we're supposed to walk forward in the armor of God. If you look in Ephesians 6, it protects the front. There's nothing getting our rear guard. Why is that? Because the Lord has our rear guard. In 2 Samuel 23, there's this man, Shammah, and he, you know, they're fighting, they're in a battle, and he grabs a sword and they're losing. But then he turns around and he's like, I am not gonna give up. And he begins to fight. Now, he defeated an entire army by himself with a sword, and his hand got so fatigued that his hand clung to the sword. He couldn't open his hands when he was done. Let me tell you, even if you're feeling weak with God, when you stand in faith to do something for the Lord, even that weakness becomes a strength in your life. Hallelujah. If you didn't have the strength to hold on long, your muscles gonna freeze holding on to that thing, and you're gonna overcome. Amen. Now, God created us to continually move forward. Come on, said, I'm called to move forward. That's right. Now, why is the Bible important? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:11 that these things happened to them as examples for us, that they were written for our instruction on whom the ends of the ages have come. Did you know that we are in the end of times? That Jesus is coming back soon. And all of us here are, hallelujah, during that time, we're going to see, you know, Jesus is coming back to us one way or another. Amen? Either we see him or through the rapture of the church or, you know, when our time comes. But he speaks through the word and he speaks through prophecy. And the word of God is not some religious thing. The word of God is life. The word of God is instruction. And he left it for us so that we can learn and know what to do. So we can know how to use the keys and the weapons of the kingdom of God. Isn't it amazing that, you know, even Pastor Jay says, you know, you're gonna be all caught up in the word and God's gonna give you, you know, open your mind to things. I was just talking with Evangelist Duke last Wednesday about how a lot of times, you know, as you're studying the word, you get caught up in it. And God begins to show you things and he begins to reveal you things. It's like he brings you there where you begin to experience and see those things in depth. And it's a powerful thing. Hallelujah. Now, God will help us as we obey him. As we act on the word of God, as we take steps to obey the word of God, he will help us. If you look in the book of Joshua in chapter 10, you know, Joshua, by that time, he had made a pact with Gibeon. They were not supposed to make any treaties with any of the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. They were supposed to wipe all of them out. Why is that? Because of their sin and their unrepentance. God had given them plenty of time to turn around, but they never turned around. They were terrible, horrible, very, very bad people. And so God said to wipe them out. Hallelujah. And in Joshua 10, the Gibeons, Josh signs a treaty with them because he did not ask the Lord for his counsel. So he just like, man, I'm great. Like, you know, I did all these things. So I'm just going to do this, you know, because you're very far away. You're not in this land, like you said. But no, they were like the very next town over. And so now they have a treaty with these people. And in Joshua 10 and verse 8, they're being attacked by five kings of the Amorites. And so they said, we're going to go to their help, and they run. And look what it says in Joshua 10 and verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, for I have handed them over to you. Not one of them will be able to stand against you. What are you coming against? What are you coming against right now? What are those things that are opposing your life? Listen to this, verse 9. So Joshua caught them by surprise after marching all night from Gilgal. Come on, say with me, all night. All night they marched to Gilgal, and then when they arrived, that's when the battle began. And the Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. He defeated them in a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them through the ascent of Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makeda. And they fled before Israel, and the Lord threw large hailstones on them from the sky along the descent of Beth Horon all the way to Azekah, and they died. More of them died from the hail than the Israelites killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, you know God so well that you're in the middle of something, you're in the middle of the battle, you look up at the sun and says, you're not going down, you're going to stay up for the rest of the night. And you look to the moon, wherever it is, you're not going down, you're going to stay up until we're done. And listen to this. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. It is not written, is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. God is on our side. Hallelujah. And when he sends his word, he will stand over his word to get it accomplished. When you take the word of the Lord and you begin to move in the direction to fulfill what God has spoken to you, he will empower you. He will bless you. He will open doors for you. Hallelujah. That otherwise would not be open. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says strongholds keep you from moving forward. What are strongholds? The way you think, or some manner of thinking. You ever know somebody that there is only one way to do a certain thing and you can't change their mind? They're unwilling to change? What does the adage say, old dogs? Right? There's strongholds, ways of thinking. But the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. They're mighty for the... They're mighty for the... They're mighty for the. They're mighty for the. So if you have bad ideas, you can overcome them. Hallelujah. And our fight is no longer with people, but with darkness. Did you know that? That your neighbor is not your problem. That your husband is not your problem. Your wife is definitely not your problem. Your pastor is not your problem. The government is not your problem. In the sense of, you know, my wife is like this. No, my life is like this because of, no. But rather the way we think. And in this life, we'll go through trials that are going to test your faith. And they're going to require faith to overcome. What have you put your faith in? On whom have you believed? Hallelujah. There's a lot of pithy sayings out there. Like, you know, if you get tired, you won't have faith. What? Where's that in the Bible? But anyway, John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And Jesus didn't tell that like, you know, "I'm sorry, I'm way better than you. So I'm just letting you know I overcame, but good luck." No, he's telling us, "I have overcome," and a believer is in what? Is in Christ. And when we are in Christ, every victory that he's won is already ours. And in John 17:15 says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." So all of your prayers like, "Oh, hurry up, Jesus. Come take me out of this world." No, they are not of the world, even as I am not of. Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. Verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that your love and you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So the Lord reveals himself to us and he gives us his word and he is with us in everything that we go through. That's why we are overcomers. Hallelujah. We are overcomers because we overcome. That means you get over it. That means you go to Lowe's, you'll get your ladder and you get over it. Hallelujah. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. We have the spirit of God that is at work in our lives that helps us when we are in need, that helps us to overcome. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we look at this text. What did God tell Abraham to do? Leave your family and leave your land that you were born in. You know, you can forfeit what God has for you unless you move to the place where God has called you. You will forfeit the calling that God has in your life unless you take action on the word that you receive from the Lord. If he's spoken to you, you better act on it. There are people that are still waiting for something to happen. Like God spoke to me many years ago that I was going to do something. Why aren't you doing it? It's not God. Hallelujah. We got power conference coming up. We had prayer and fasting. We're still in prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Amen. And how many of you guys experienced great breakthrough? I talked with Pastor Daniel. He says, man, two people got up from wheelchairs. The deaf heard. Their ears were open. God is doing great things already. And we got power conference coming up. Hallelujah. Why do we have power conference coming up? Because the word of the Lord is going to be released in power. We're bringing in, you know, people who are tried and true, who listen to the Lord, who are great ministers of the word. And they're going to be imparting the word of God, hallelujah, for us during that time. And I want to challenge you that God's got a word for you, that God's got a word for your specific situation that you have right now. And if you will take that time, if you will take that weekend, if you take that time to seek after the Lord, it's going to be a transformative week for you. There are times of visitation, hallelujah, when we set apart, like fasting and praying. We set apart to hear from the Lord. And the rest of the year, we're going to be acting on the things that the Lord has spoken. But you will forfeit what God has for you unless you're moving forward to the place that God has called you. Not necessarily a geographical place. What has God called you to do? Heard of a guy once that heard, you know, got a word that he was going to be like Dr. Morocco's secondhand man. And then like he showed up and was like, what's up, doc? Yeah, what's up, doc? And I was like, come to prayer. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, come to prayer. Are you praying? You know why you got to be at early morning prayer if you're going to do anything great for God? Because if you can't hear from God, you're not going to do anything from God. You're going to get offended and you're going to leave. And right at the crucial time, right when you're most needed, you're going to quit. You guys all right? So why must prayer be a requirement? You know, I'm so proud of all of our team at Eagle River. We got Minister Dusty over there and Minister Jolene. We got Rex. And, you know, I got a team of people that, you know, started moving and running with us there. And they were like, you know, my volunteer staff. And every Saturday we had meeting and they would come and we had early morning prayer in the beginning. You know, and a lot of times it was just me. And then in one of those meetings, as we began to grow, I met with them and I said, listen, I know you guys don't work full time or any time. Like, you're not paid staff members right now, but God's calling us to do something great. And I'm going to ask you, I'm actually going to put a requirement on you that you must be in prayer if you're going to continue in the position that you are in. consistently, at least 3 times a week. You need to be at early morning prayer. Why is that? Because I knew that as we grew, that the weight of things that were gonna come upon us was gonna be great. And if we were not devoting ourselves to the Lord in prayer, if they were not devoting them and growing in prayer, they would be wiped out. You cannot be serve the Lord. You cannot, you know, do something great in ministry without having a prayer life, a corporate prayer life. A lot of people wanna have like, well, you know, I'm not gonna give up my closet time. I'm not gonna give up my prayer time. You will never be able to withstand the storm that's coming unless you're standing with the church of the living God. What did Jesus say? On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Hallelujah. And so as we move, and you know, and I told him, like, I'm gonna give you 3 months to figure out your life so you can be at early morning prayer. Did you know that every single one of them made a way so they could be at early morning prayer? And I'll tell you what happened. Financially, they were blessed. God opened doors for better jobs. God made a way for them as they positioned themselves to obey the word of the Lord, to be in a place where they could be actually, you know, carry more weight in the kingdom of God. The blessings of God follows. You know, talking about sacrifice, it pays to sacrifice. In the kingdom of God, it pays to sacrifice. Jesus said that when you give, you will receive 100-fold here on earth, and then many more times in heaven. Hallelujah. So we're called, amen? And you can forfeit the what God has called you to unless you're moving to the place where God has called you to. Not just, you know, Eagle River, not like a geographical place per se. What about in your service to God? Have you stopped helping at your local church because you became offended in the past? Well, you know, I used to go to church before and, you know, I got hurt. Or even this one, I got hurt when this happened. And listen, I understand, and I'm not, you know, downplaying that. But I'm saying it's time to move forward. It's time for you to begin to seek after the Lord, because those things even that you're believing for, God wants to give you, but you are not positioned in the place where you can receive it. So in your service to God, you're believing for breakthrough, but you're unwilling to come to the house of God. You're unwilling to serve the Lord at a higher capacity. Come on. If Jesus came back tomorrow, if we knew, if you knew that Jesus were coming back tomorrow, what would you do differently? I would encourage you to do this. Begin to do that as if he were coming tomorrow, and watch as every single one of your dreams, every single one of those things that you hold dear, God begins to give to you. Because God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. A lot of people get wiped out, like, you know, I just need some me time right now. I need some rest time. No, you need to pray more. Hallelujah. James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures, pleasures of the flesh. And you can read Galatians 5:19. You know, when God calls us, you know, he will bless you. And I'm going to look at a few of the things that Abraham did, because God is calling us to move forward at the word of the Lord. Come on, say with me, I'm going to move forward. You're going to move forward in Jesus' name. In Genesis 15:6 says, and Abram believed God, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. And how do you know that Abraham believed God? How many of you believe? Like, we all believe, right? But why is it that Abraham believed God and it was counted him unrighteous and he was exceedingly blessed? I'll tell you why. Because in Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I'm going to show you. In verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. When God called Abraham to move to a distant land, it wasn't even like Dallas, where he had been before. It was a place I'm going to show you. What did he do? He obeyed. Come on, say with me, he obeyed. In Genesis 17, buckle up. The Lord told Abram, You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. Whoa, 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 whoa. You want me to come, Minister Toby? You want me to come to early morning prayer? How many of you would have been like, I'm out? You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. Verse 23, on that very day, Abram took his son Ishmael and every male in his household, including those born there and those he had bought. Then he circumcised them, cutting off their foreskins, just as God had told him. Whoa. Genesis 21:12. But God told Abram, do not be upset over the boy your servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you. Obey your wife. God told Abram, obey your wife. For Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Verse 14, so Abram got up early the next morning, prepared food and a container of water, strapped him on Hagar's shoulder. Then he sent her away with her son, and she wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. He was so quick to obey God that despite having all those camels and all those animals, he's like, get out of here right away. You see how things are getting harder and harder to do? It was first leave and I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you the place. Okay, I head out. Now, you know, snip, snip. Okay, he obeyed. And now the son you shouldn't have had and his mother kick him out from your house. How many things do people tolerate because they're kinder than God? And it totally derails the plan of God for their lives. There are things you cannot tolerate in your life. There are Ishmaels that you must expel from your house, despite the connection, despite whatever, you know. Anyway, and then in verse 22, the hardest thing that Abram had to do was take your son. Can you come and play, please? Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on the mountain, which I will show you. The next morning, come on, say with me, the next morning. You see, Abram never procrastinated when God called him to do something. When God spoke to him to do something. And every time that when God sends his word, do this, give, and you will get back. Give and you'll get back the same measure. Press down, shake it together, and running over. God's desire is to bless you way beyond your ideas. Like, well, I don't agree with this tithe thing. You need to change. God called you to serve. Well, you know, I don't like. Do you know that, you know, as you grow, the greater the things you grow, the more people are going to be around you that you don't necessarily get along with? And just like, you know, a regular job back in the day where you had to put away your differences to do your job so you could actually have income. Back when they didn't have safe places at work. The same thing when you want to do something for God. You may not always see eye to eye with somebody else who's a believer who loves Jesus just as much as you do. But you get over yourself. And you obey the word of the Lord, because when you obey the word of the Lord, he will bless you. Most people don't want to do anything that requires too much of them. God's not asking you to, you know, snip, snip. He's not asking you for your foreskin. As a matter of fact, the New Testament baptism is a circumcision. Can you read in Colossians? Thank God. Hallelujah. Initially, it seems uncomfortable to change, but it's deadly not to. We think, you know, when the Lord spoke to us, when Pastor Daniel said, you know, that was 2014 when we came in. And by 2016, you know, the first thing I did was like, you know, I got to start serving. And we began serving. I went to Primrose. You know why I went to serve at Primrose? Because I was going to be far away from, I'm not going to be serving a church. Nobody was going to see me. And, you know, nothing, and then, you know, I was going to fly under the radar. But I knew as soon as I rededicated my life to the Lord that I needed to serve. And then I went to Primrose and Minister Carol was preaching there that day. And she preached on the passage where Peter is restored by Jesus. Where, you know, he goes and he builds the fire and Peter comes and he says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. And I was weeping. Some people were sleeping. Others were, you know, like, ah. And I was like weeping at the word of the Lord. Ah. And I started serving. Then Pastor Kenny's like, can you help me with ushers? Can you be an usher? I'm like, sure, I'll be an usher. And I became an usher. You know, and then it's like, you know, wow, can you lead the ushers? Sure. We began to work in that way. And then I remember one time I was like, God, I was driving home, actually passing this property because I used to live here on Whispering Woods, Naomi Drive, off of Whispering Woods. We used to live right there. We used to go on walks and come and walk in the property. One time we were walking and I thought it was chaga on a tree and I broke it and I took it home and I made tea for like a week. It was not chaga. I'm sorry, Lord, I repent for stealing dead wood. And we lived right there and I was driving home from service from Lucille Street. I was like, Lord, what do you have for us? And God says, why don't you just do what you're doing now as if you had nothing else to do? Why don't you be a pastor at your job? Why don't you begin to serve me with no ambition? Just serve where you are right now. And we began to serve. And let me tell you, from that time, from when he rebuked me as I was driving in my minivan, pulling out, you know, that exit right there to go back to Whispering Woods, it feels like it was like a blinking of an eye. And then he says, you know, when I told him I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to be serving here, you know, to serve whatever you want to do. And he says, you know, what do you guys think about Eagle River? I'm like, no, we'll pray about it. And then as we begin to pray about it, all kinds of words begin to come back. The Lord showed, you know, my wife is having visions of eagles flying in the sanctuary way before we hear about Eagle River. And then, like, we write these things down. Eagles landed, were, you know, would land in our yard in Anchorage, and different things would happen. And wouldn't you know, that's where the Lord has called us. And when we took the step to move there in obedience to the Lord, every step of the way, God has provided. God has made a way. We are blessed beyond our wildest imaginations. The fact that I'm standing here, that I came into this church broken, and that I'm standing here now preaching to you is a miracle. And it's a miracle that not only can happen for me, but that will happen for you if you will stand and take the word of the Lord and move forward. Hallelujah. Now, what are you doing to get a word from the Lord? Are you praying? Are you seeking him? Piano player, where art thou? I thought I called you like, hallelujah. Play us a song, you're the piano man. Romans 12 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let him be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Let me tell you, it pays to sacrifice. It pays to sacrifice. It pays to sacrifice. When you present yourself as a sacrifice unto the Lord, hallelujah, he takes what you give him. He takes how you show up and he makes out of you a great man. He makes out of you a great woman. He enables you to do things that you will never be able to do on your own. That you will never be able to do where you are right now. You must offer yourself as a sacrifice. You must believe the word of God. I know the plans that I have for you to give you a hope, to give you a future. God is going to give you a hope. He's going to give you a future. As you seek him, as you devote yourself to him, things are going to get better. things are gonna grow. Things are gonna get better and better and better and better. And we witnessed that. We witnessed that in our lives. We witnessed that in Eagle River. As people come in, broken, dejected, lost. Hallelujah. And they have an encounter with the living God. And they begin to hear the word of the Lord. They grow into mighty men and mighty women. I remember the first power conference, prophetic conference. Pastor said, I want you to help with the call out rooms. I'm like, what's a call out room? That's the place where we take in these mighty men, mighty women of God. They're gonna be prophesying over each family individually. And my wife and I, we helped, you know, we were in Bishop Hook's call out room. And we saw Trenisa come in. And she was limping very badly from, because one leg was like an inch. I have the video on my phone from 2015, January of 2015. And one leg was shorter than the other. And he's like, oh, no, 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 no. And he sits her down and he grabs her feet and is like, yo, you need to listen, you need to see this. And he just said, Lord, cause her leg to grow. And her leg grows out longer than the other one. This goes back in the same size. Trenisa was here last month, a month and a half ago, with her husband. She's walking, you know, and she starts walking down, you know, up and down, you know, the thing perfectly. Until this day, that has not changed. I'm telling you, what we are supposed to have happen in this place is that lives are going to be impacted. Actually, she's in ministry in Seattle. What is supposed to happen here? Hallelujah. In this power conference, it's going to change your life forever. And if you're here and you say, well, I've had a lot of power prophetic words, nothing's changed. It's because you're not taking action on it. What have you done? Because with the word of God that comes to you, comes the empowerment, comes the grace to do it. Grace is not just, you know, like a pat on the back for you not being diligent, for your sinning or whatever. The grace of God is power. Power to see miracles happen. Power for you to become the person you need to be, the person you desire to be. A lot of times that'll come as you sacrifice your body unto the Lord in worship by coming to prayer. I don't want to get up. It's too early. I know. I wish our church had the, you know, midday prayer time. We come. If you don't come to midday prayer, you can't be on staff. Amen, Pastor. No, it's early morning prayer. Dan Morocco, Pastor Dan Morocco, had a mantle at 4 a.m. Praise Jesus. We do it at 7 here. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you, I mean, Pastor even taught. Anybody ever see the Pastor Daniel teach the way that he used to get up? Like, he catches the side of the bed and say, okay, 1, 2, 3, like pulls himself up. Nobody wants to get up early. But when you present yourself as a sacrifice unto the Lord, He blesses you. He begins to transform you. He begins to give you a perspective that is from heaven, not an earthly perspective. The Bible says that we are not to know any man according to the flesh. Some of you had a problem, have problems with people because you are regarding people according to the flesh. What do you mean the flesh? Your body. You see them through your eyes. And you judge them by your past experiences. You see, when you have spiritual insight, the Bible says that the spiritual man, the spiritual woman can discern every person spiritually. And so when you look at somebody, you're not looking at what they are presenting. You are looking at the total sum of their lives and you are seeing God's purpose for them instead of what they show, what they appear to you. That's why you can lay hands on the homeless. That's why you can talk to people that are undesirable. Why is that? Because you are seeing the potential of God in them.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.